So let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 6. Our time is short. I have a lot I'd like to cover. I'm not going to be preachy tonight. I'm actually going to teach, and I'm going to try to give a little bit of meat. And I do want to say, you know, young people, actually all of us, you know, I hope you're analyzing the letter of God, speak to your heart, whether it's about getting more involved in your local church, because missions is done through the local church. So if you're not a member, you need to become a member. If you're a member, but you're not very faithful to the services, you need to become faithful to the services. If you're faithful to the services, but you're not involved in the ministries, you need to find a ministry and plug yourself in. And if you're not involved in an outreach and or some type of discipleship ministry, then you need to be involved. So allow God to work in your heart in that sense, but also allow God to work in your heart as far as you know, maybe God wants some of you to be a missionary. Maybe it's not a lead missionary or church planter. Maybe it's to go help another missionary. And there's so many needs across the world. Maybe God wants to be a pastor, an assistant pastor, or a pastor's wife, or an assistant pastor's wife, or just in full-time Christian service, and he'll lead you and guide you and direct you. But tonight, I want to speak specifically about finances. And I know it's a subject some people perhaps have a difficulty, whether it's listening to that subject or as a preacher talking about it, but it's very needy. It's certainly a part of the scriptures, and it's certainly a part of the Great Commission. And yesterday we talked about it's go time, you know, and we reminded us, what is the Great Commission? The commissioner, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has given us a commandment. We ought to listen to him. And we talked about the commission, which is to make disciples by going, by evangelizing, by baptizing, by discipling through the local church unto all nations. And we talked about the commitment. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission. But today I want to focus specifically on finances and on giving. And so let's read here Exodus chapter 6. And it's not necessarily a very, you're not going to necessarily see a connection between this and where we want to go immediately. But we're going to read in Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. And the Bible says, "These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon," I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 14. I need my glasses. I think I left my glasses at the last church we were in, and I'm not seeing this too well. Verse 16, "And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari." And if you're still having, you know, if you have young kids, you're going to have kids in the near future. You got a lot of good selection of names to choose from here. Look at verse 18. "And the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel." Look at verse 20. "And Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister's wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years." Look at verse 25. "And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took one of the daughters of Peuel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites, according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, 'Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, according to their armies.' These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron." Now look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" Now, is there any connection between these two passages? Well, apparently not. But there is a connection between these two passages. And I want us to understand what that connection is tonight. And the title of the lesson tonight, the message is God, the Great Strategist. God, the Great Strategist. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless the message tonight. Help us, Lord, as we think on the Great Commission. Help us to learn from your strategies, from your plan, and help us to get on board. Help us to follow your vision and your strategy, Lord, to get the gospel all over the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The tribe of Levi was chosen from God's people. In the passage we read in Exodus chapter 6, God is giving the genealogy of Moses up into Moses. He was a Levite. And curiosity about Levi, he was not the firstborn. He was the thirdborn. And why God chose the Levites to be the priests and those who were in the ministry working in a tabernacle in the temple, we don't know for sure. I have some ideas, but he was not the firstborn. He was the third son of Jacob. He was the great-great-grandfather, as we saw in the text, of Aaron and Moses. And in Exodus 6, 26 and 27, we see that Aaron and Moses, Levites, are called to take the Israelites out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. And of course, God gave not just the Ten Commandments, but God gave the commandments to Moses. And in those commandments, God had a great plan for how his people were to operate and how the Levites were to operate and how the tabernacle and the temple was to be set up. Did God know what he was doing when he chose the Levites and when he chose Moses and Aaron to lead Israel out of Egypt? Of course he did. And some people have the concept that God just created mankind and now he just lets us be and has left us to our devices. But the truth is, God created mankind with a purpose, and he is constantly involved in our lives. And he gave us a manual that is a book of a plan on for our lives. He gave us a book of strategies. And so God is the great strategist. I'm not talking about in strategizing a war or a chess game, but he is a person who plans, and he has a plan and a way of doing things. Now, I want us to look and consider some of his strategies in doing his work. Now, I'm going to give you four of his strategies. We're really going to only focus on the last one. So I'm just going to read the first four. We're going to quickly go first three. We're going to quickly go through them, and I want to concentrate on the last one. But number one, we see that God chose. God is the one who chose the Levites. God chose Moses and Aaron, and God is the one that did the choosing, according to Exodus 6 and Numbers 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 10. In the Old Testament, the chosen to do the work of the ministry at the house of God were the Levites. Now, they didn't question because they were already born for that service. If you were born in the tribe of Levi, you already knew you were going to be working in the house of God, doing the work of God. So the tribe of Levi, that they were separated for that, and God had chosen them. In the New Testament, God chooses evangelists, pastors, teachers. God chooses the pastors and missionaries for the ministry. And so the first thing we see is that God chose. The second thing we see is that God commissioned, or God commissions. And in Numbers chapter 4, God tells the Levites exactly what they are supposed to do. He shows them what their responsibilities are. And they were supposed to take care of and transport the tabernacle. And they were supposed to take care of the sacrifices. And we see that God has also commissioned missionaries and pastors. Now, as I mentioned last night, we are all missionaries. God has called all of us, commissioned all of us to preach the gospel. But God has commissioned missionaries and pastors to preach the gospel, Matthew 28:19. But for the perfect, I'm not sure what the word is in English, aperfeiçoamento da igreja, the perfection, for the perfecting of the church, Ephesians chapter 4. And God has commissioned us, given us responsibilities. The third thing that we see is that God, He enables us. He capacitates us. He gives us the ability to, if God calls, He also gives us the ability. So as I said, there is a need for missionaries and assistant pastors to work in all kinds of ministries, doing all kinds of things. And we need people who are good with music in Brazil. We also need people who are good with media in Brazil. And we need teachers, and we need all kinds. And but if God calls you, He does capacitate you. And that's what He did with Moses. Now, Moses, he came up with the excuse, but God, I can't speak. And God says, look, I'll enable you. I'll speak through you. But because of Moses' insistence, He said, okay, well, take your brother, and I'll speak. You know, I'll tell you what to tell your brother, and your brother will speak for you. But God capacitates His servants. But the fourth thing that we see in God's strategy is that God planned for how His servants were going to have their needs met. God planned for the financial aspect of His ministry. The Levites, the Bible says, they did not have an inheritance among God's people. Now, that doesn't sound very fair, does it? I'm going to choose you to serve me. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to give you an inheritance. All the other tribes, I'm going to give them land, but you're not going to receive land. And if we read the list of those that received an inheritance, received land, you'll read that it's 12 tribes minus the Levites. Now, why 12? Weren't there 12 tribes total? Well, Joseph, Jacob, he gave Joseph's inheritance to his two children. Yep. And so Manasseh and Ephraim, they received both an inheritance. So you have 12 tribes receiving an inheritance, and yet the Levites did not receive an inheritance. But God said, I want the Levites to have within the tribes of Israel, they are going to have 48 cities and some area around those cities. Numbers chapter 35. But He also said, I want the Levites to receive a tithe from all the other tribes. So, if there are 12 tribes giving 10% to the Levites, how much are they receiving? 120%, right? 12 tribes giving 10%, they are receiving 120%. So, if each tribe gave 10%, how much are they keeping? 90%. Now, the Levites were also supposed to tithe. So, if they're giving 120 and they're tithing off 120, how much is that? That's 12%. So, 12% off of 120, 108. So, the Levites kept 108%, and all the other tribes got 90%. Wow, now that's starting to make more sense. Now, I want to be a Levite. I don't have to work the land. I don't have an inheritance that I have to upkeep and plant and toil in. And I still get 108% while all my brothers get 90%. Isn't that interesting? So the great strategist planned for his servants to receive even more than all the other tribes. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 12:19, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Now, if God were an employer today, He would be a great employer. He knows that for a business to be successful, the best way for this to be successful is keep your employers happy, right? Take care of them. And by the way, God does take care of His servants. Amen. I can testify to that. But God, He values those who serve in the ministry. He values His servants. And he wanted the tribe of Levi to be well taken care of. He wanted them to not have to worry about planting and taking care of an inheritance. He wanted them to focus on the ministry. And so he said, Israel, you're going to take care of them. Now, the Bible also says in the New Testament that the pastors and the missionaries ought to live off the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So in the New Testament, God also wants those who are in the ministry. And I'm generalizing, and obviously there are situations. I'm not saying that God is against a pastor working a job, whether it's part-time or full-time. But generally speaking, God wants those who are in the ministry to at the very least be able to take care of their families and still focus on the ministry. That's important to God. God talks about three types of giving in the Bible: the tithes, the offerings, and the alms. Now, in Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. How did God take care of his servants, of those who were ministering and working in a ministry in the Old Testament? It was through the tithes. And by the way, the tithes did not start with Moses. The tithes started 400 years before Moses with Abraham. And God mentions the tithes, but he mentions something else. In Malachi 3:8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So God expects us as God's people to tithe. That's 10% of our gross income. We ought to give that to the local church for it to pay its bills and to take care of its servants. But above that, God wants us to give offerings. Every Christian ought to give tithes and offerings. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We don't have time to go into this passage very much, but in 1 Corinthians, at the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about an offering that was being raised for those, the Jews in Jerusalem who were going through a hard time because of persecution and because of a famine. And Paul, he also wanted to connect the Gentile church with the Jews. He wanted the Jews to understand that the Gentiles love them. And so Paul is asking all the Gentile churches, all the churches, to give an offering to these Jews. But he teaches a lot of principles, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, about how we ought to give an offering. And here we see some principles for faith promise. It ought to be according as each one purposes in their heart. God doesn't tell you how much you have to give. Now, I believe, as Paul teaches, it ought to be sacrificially, but it ought to be with a cheerful heart. And so that is what faith promise is. Now, you know, we pay many taxes to the government, right? I don't know how, I know a little bit more about Brazilian taxes than American taxes, but I think we have, you know, sales tax and we have income tax. And oh, I'm sure there's taxes on home, you know, on vehicle and on gas and all kinds of stuff have taxes attached to it. And so we pay taxes. And, you know, if you want to drive on good roads, and you want to have a police to protect you and an army to protect the nation, that's right and fair. And we ought to pay our taxes. But I know we don't like to pay our taxes. We don't want to pay our taxes. But we pay taxes, and then should we not then pay so that the word of God can be spread throughout the world? So that we can fulfill the mission that God has given us, the Great Commission. Remember I said yesterday that we ought to go. That means we ought to be methodical. It ought to be, we ought to strategize. How is the best way we can get the gospel to the world? Well, it takes finances. So the church has to have a plan on how they are going to finance the Great Commission. And you know what Madison Baptist Church does? faith promise. So if you don't want to get involved, that means you don't want to get involved in the faith in financing the faith, the Great Commission. In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the Bible says, "Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own wages? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul is talking about this, he makes a parallel. He says that God, the great strategist, the same plan that he had in the Old Testament, he also has in the New Testament. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple?" Who is he talking about? Who lived of the holy things and received and lived of the holy things of the temple? Who? The Levites. "And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar." He's not talking about the church. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the Levites. But then in the very next verse, in verse 14, he draws a parallel between the tithes given to the Levites and the tithes given in the local church. And he says in verse 14, "Even so, the same way as it was in the Old Testament, hath the Lord ordained," he's commanded, "that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." You know what? That means that the pastor ought to live off the gospel. That means that the missionaries ought to live off of the gospel. And missionaries can't go to a foreign field and work there. And so, how do we support the missionaries? Yes, our tithes, but through our offerings, through our faith promise giving. So I want to encourage you tonight. That is the plan of God. You know, you can't say, don't tell me that you love missions if you can't even give to missions. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I know people, look, I'm not against these things. And you know, we live in a blessed country. God has prospered America unlike any other country in the world. And one of the reasons is because America has financed the Great Commission. And America has sent missionaries all around the world. But the day that we stop forgetting that that is our priority is the day that God is going to look for another country to bless. But I know Christians that will spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars for hunting gear and to go hunting. And then you ask, how much do you give to missions? Oh, no, I don't give to missions. I mean, we're willing to spend hundreds of dollars to eat out every month. We're willing to spend hundreds of dollars on entertainments. And yet, comes around missions time, and we, you know, oh, I'll let so-and-so give. I don't have a lot of money. If we love missions, if we love souls, we are going to be willing to invest into souls. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that the offering that was given to him from a very poor church, the church of Philippi, the offering that was given to him was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Do you want to please God? Give sacrificially towards missions. As you pray about how much you are going to give to Faith Promise, let it be sacrificially. I mean, we give to 10% tithe, but why couldn't we give all close to 10% in Faith Promise? Right. Why not? And pray. I believe every person ought to be involved in Faith Promise, whether it's a kid, a teenager, an adult, whether you're on fixed income or you don't have a job, you can give something. But let's understand God has a strategy to reach the world. And it involves you and I. It involves our tithes, but it involves our offerings. It involves our faith promise giving. So pray. Ask what God would have you give and commit. Give. Let God bless you. Let God use you. Understand you are investing. Every soul that's saved through the missionaries is fruit to your account. There is no better investment than the investment in the souls of eternity. So pray and give sacrificially for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Lord, you have a plan. I can't imagine. I know why you were so angry at Israel after they came out of the captivity. If there's only four tribes giving 10% to the Levites, that means they're getting 40%. And Lord, you want your workers, you want those who preach the gospel, who live off the gospel, to be taken care of. You want the gospel to reach the world, Lord. Lord, help us to understand you've blessed us tremendously. Help us to give. Give with a cheerful heart, as each one proposeth in his heart. But Lord, help us to give sacrificially, by faith. Lord, I pray that you bless this church, that this next year they would be able to give even more for the cause of Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name.